Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Restaurant Brands Asia Limited earnings conference call for 3Q FY24. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Naveen Trivedi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. On behalf of Motilal Oswal, I would like to welcome you all to the Restaurant Brands Asia Q3F24 earnings conference call. From the management today, we have Mr. Rajeev Varman, CEO, Whole-Time Director, Mr. Sandeep Dey, Brand President, Indonesia, Mr. Sumit Zaveri, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Kapil Grover, Chief Marketing Officer, and Mr. Prashant Desai, Head of Strategy and Investor Relations. I would now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, guys. This is Raj. Thank you for joining the call this evening. Just to give you a rundown, we reported 3.6% positive same-store sales in Q1 and then 3.5% in the last quarter in Q2. And we continue that positive trend again today. We are going to report 2.6% positive in same-store sales. The good thing about this is we are driving this positive sales by driving traffic into our restaurants. So we continue to maintain between a 6.5%-7% kind of a positive traffic into our restaurant. That is the effort that we wanted to put this year, which is to drive more people into our restaurants, especially into our dine-in business. And we continue to do that, and we have not missed a beat on that. So that's the great good news. The market at large is a value market right now, and we have, and Kapil will walk you through the promotion that we are doing, which is now national all across the country. And it's doing very well for us and continues to drive traffic into our restaurants. So that's the opening remarks on how we are faring in Q3 as we did in Q2 and Q1. So the sales revenues were 445 crores, grew 20% year-over-year, same quarter, and 23% up if you take the 9 months that we have operated in this year. SSSG, as I said, was 2.6% positive, and I'm talking about only the Indian numbers right now, driven primarily through traffic. So traffic was up quite a bit. So thanks to all the effort by the operations and the marketing team, they continue to drive more people into the business. Again, some very good profitability numbers thanks to all the work that we have done in the last year and now into this year. The highest-ever company EBITDA. I'll give you post-IAS numbers, and then I'll give you pre. So INR 70 crores was delivered in Q3, which is 48% up year-over-year. And if you take pre-IAS, we delivered 30 crores. Again, that's double what we delivered last year, same quarter. So very good profitability numbers. Last year, last semester, last quarter, I told you that the entire company continues to be focused on unit-level economics. That is not going to change. We will continue to work on those. And then now we are seeing the results of that. PBT, again, this is the second quarter we are break-even for a brand new company that's hardly 8, 9 years into operations. We have started breaking even on PBT, so that's again 2 quarters in a row. We built 38 restaurants this quarter, bringing us to 441 restaurants. And as we sit today, we have actually crossed our target for this year as we had set it up at 450 for the fiscal year. We are at 452 restaurants as we sit today. So congratulations to Cicely Thomas, her team, and the entire construction projects team that they've pulled this target ahead, 3 months ahead of where we were. And then, you know, the cafes, we continue to build cafes, as you know, and today we have 334 Burger King cafes as of December 31st. Now, the digital exercise that that Kapil and Cicely both are running across our business, today they have built 68 restaurants, or they have 68 restaurants that are on the King's Journey. Again, reminding you, King's Journey, obviously, Kapil will kind of give you the details of it, but really, this is about the kiosks, about table ordering, about the app, ease to order, the entire experience where customers actually go and place the order on the kiosk or on their mobile app or on a QR code scanned and go into the website, place order there, and the food actually comes to their table. That's the King's Journey kind of a thing, which is doing so well globally and here as well in India. We moved to 68 restaurants doing that, and next year we will complete the 100% of the restaurants on King's Journey. Now, a little bit over Indonesia. Again, Sandeep Day is on the line. Sandeep Day runs our business in Indonesia, both Popeyes and Burger King. And Sandeep will give a detailed update on Indonesia, while Sumit will kind of give you the overall financial of both the countries. Kapil will walk you through the India marketing strategy that that we are so proud that we are moving in the right direction. So Indonesia numbers. Now, one of the things that I don't know if you're following the Indonesian market, there's been some geopolitical forces once this war started in Israel versus the Hamas. There's some anti-sentiments in Indonesia towards, you know, the U.S. brands. That's kind of easing off a little bit, but it has taken a significant toll in the last couple of months, predominantly by customers are trying to stay away from the U.S. brands. Again, like I said, it's starting to ease, and we're hoping that this will, you know, eradicate over time period. So anyway, Q3, the ADS was 17.8 million. Again, I'm giving you IDR numbers here. This was a lower than 18 million IDR, which was of the previous year, same quarter, down about 1% year over year. Now, however, the good news of here is Sandeep put together a fantastic strategy a few months back with the help of, you know, the same program that we have here in India. We put the strategy up in Indonesia, and the quarter-on-quarter growth on delivery sales. Again, we are aligning the business so that we start doing business. We used to do 50, 60 transactions. You know, we have moved that to north of 100 transactions on delivery, and we continue to push that. That has been the saving grace because brands have seen a significant toll on traffic going into their restaurants as an industry, right? But our saving grace is we have now started driving traffic into our delivery business. So some good news there as we kind of wait for the market to recover as a whole. ADS IDR on Popeyes, which is a business today with 25 restaurants open as of December 31st, that was at 23.3 million IDR. Revenues in the Popeyes business, 35 billion versus 27 billion IDR in the previous quarter, grew about 28%. So some good news on the Popeyes end. We continue to build that business and a very strong economic business over there. Profitability, restaurant level EBITDA, this was a break even for us in Q3. And this was driven predominantly by cost optimization, a lot of work going in that direction. It's not complete. We have another two quarters of work to do in completely cost optimizing our economic model there, but significant improvement in that as well. We have 162 restaurants, Burger King restaurants in Indonesia, and 25 Popeyes restaurants in Indonesia. We added 13 new Popeyes restaurants this semester last quarter. Again, the strategy in marketing both markets continues to be driven through value and to bring in traffic and to grow traffic business. So we continue with that traffic over there as well, and you will find that that Sandeep will talk more towards that. So with just those highlights, and I'm obviously here for the rest of the call to answer questions and so forth, I will turn it over to Sumit Zaveri to kind of walk you through the numbers as we see it. Over to you.
Thank you, Raj. I'll just quickly take you through our performance for the quarter and 9 months. Starting quickly with India, how we performed, Indonesia on the consolidated basis. At the back of we closing December at 441 stores, 452 as we speak today, and continue to show positive SSG on an average of around upwards of 3%. We delivered a revenue of 445 crores, a growth of 20% over last year. It is actually at the back of SSG and the new store opening that we've been able to achieve 20% growth. We've always been talking about taking our gross margins forward and continue to kind of work towards that. We had set our targets and we will look at that later as well. We've always been saying that we want to get to the number of 67%. We've got to 67.1 for the quarter FY24, and we strongly believe that we should be able to hold on to this as we go along. So a very clear shift that we've been able to achieve this year over last three quarters, and a strong shift is what we strongly believe we've been able to get to. As far as store EBITDA is concerned, we delivered 12.2% for the quarter, and if you really look at it from the perspective of 9 months as well, for 9 months, we are now on early double digits at 10.3% for the quarter as far as restaurant EBITDA on a pre-Ind AS basis. As far as company EBITDA is concerned, we are continuing our journey to show improvement quarter on quarter. This quarter, we've got to a company EBITDA on a pre-Ind AS basis of 30 crores, 6.8%. And if you look at it on a 9-month basis, almost close to 5% at 65 crores on an India basis. So we feel very strong about where we stand on India on a quarter. As far as our performance for the quarter and 9 months is concerned. Raj did mention about some of the headwinds that we faced in Indonesia. In view of that, our revenue for quarter three stood at 158 crores, in line with what we had achieved last year at quarter three. The only difference is last year, we were close to 180 stores, whereas this we achieved with around 162 stores. So lesser number of stores, but achieved very similar revenues. The issue impacted us in November. So November and December is where we literally got, it was fairly muted. Our target was to at least ensure that we continue to improve our performance at the restaurant levels. And as you could see, with difficult situations as well, we've been able to at least get to break even at a company EBITDA level, which if you look at it last year, same quarter, we were negative 18 crores at a reported company EBITDA level. And company EBITDA pre-Ind AS level as well, from a negative 28, we've been able to move the needle to negative 13. So there is progress, but yes, we really wanted to move farther than what we've moved in this quarter or this 9 months as far as Indonesia is concerned. If you're looking at consolidated operating performance, revenue for the quarter stood at 604 crores. At a consolidated company EBITDA level, 17.2 crores, 2.8% company level EBITDA, which was minus 13 crores last year. So again, 30 crore shift compared to last year. And similarly, if you look at 9 months FY24, 1,840 crores revenue as compared to 540 crores, which is 20% growth, with 25 crores of company EBITDA, 1.3% as compared to a negative 2.5% that we had. So overall, we means we have very clearly shown improvement in India as well as in Indonesia. And our journey would be a very strong focus on profitability in addition to driving revenue at the top line is what we will continue our journey going forward. So that's actually how they're going to focus. Sandeep will take us through some of the trends on in the Indonesia side. But before that, handing it over to Kapil, take us through some of the initiatives that we did on the marketing side that helped us to our performance in quarter three. Over to you, Kapil.
Thanks, Sumit, and good evening, everyone. As always, we'll just remind ourselves of the focus areas that the team is working on and then update everyone on the progress. Number one being the value strategy as a key driver of growth and traffic to our stores. And innovation on core burger platforms. Last quarter, we also added a new popular chicken side, improved some of the existing products to improve the adoption of these ideas. And we'll share more details on that. The third focus area is building the digital experience for our consumers in our stores and synchronizing all touch points for a seamless experience for our consumers. Last but not the least, building a very strong, engaging brand for the Gen Z and millennials. Now, slide number 12. Our value proposition is focused on satiating meals platform, Tasty Meals at 99. We spoke about it last couple of quarters. We consistently built this platform over the last 9 months, and we continue to focus on this. The campaign has helped us sustain dine-in traffic growth despite seasonality impact of, you know, whether there was Shravan Navratri in October or there were some headwinds. Whatever there is, we've been able to sustain traffic growth, as Raj mentioned in his opening remarks, on the back of this campaign, especially towards dine-in restaurants. And this will continue to be our focus area as we go forward. The next layer I want to talk about is the Whopper. Last quarter, we came up with a new campaign on the Whopper also, which was to sustain that platform. And it's not an idea for a quarter, it's an idea for many quarters to come. The insight behind this campaign was, you know, based on the feedback we heard from our guests, that they want the taste of the Whopper to be more closer to their Indian palate expectations. And we had made that change in the product a couple of years ago, but we could not communicate it because of COVID disruptions and other priorities. This quarter, we crafted a new insightful campaign. It was a multilingual campaign which was shot in three different languages with a unique cast to make a much deeper connect with our guests. Now, just to give you a little anecdote, the protagonist here is a fence-sitter, someone who is not sure, and then a Whopper fan urges her to try the Whopper, and then they discover the fantastic taste of the product and they get converted. So this idea is deeply rooted in our deep cultural insight, and we will continue to use this over long term to build the Whopper trials and Whopper love. Slide number 14 is about how we continue to build BK Cafe as a concept and generate trials. You know, we continue to promote on social media, we continue to promote through influencers and drive trials of that program. On the innovation side, I spoke about the, you know, the popular chicken snack that we've added. We've launched crunchy nuggets. It's nuggets with a twist. You know, typically what you get in the category of tempura coated soft nuggets. But we understand that the Indian consumer loves multi-textural snacking. And we've built this product out based on that insight. It's got a crunchy texture and a very juicy, flavorful chicken inside. And we're getting very good response. And it's early days, but already hearing good response from our consumers. And it will help us build the chicken snacking portfolio over time. We also relaunched the BK Chicken Burger with 50% more chicken in the same price. And this will now offer consumers even better value for money in our classic burger range. The second product is the premium wraps. You know, now this premium, very soft paneer wrap and the fried chicken wrap is available nationally across our stores. These premium wraps have been launched at a price point of $199. So now the King's Collection menu, as we've been talking about the last four quarters, is now consistent of four burgers and two wraps at the same price point, and consumers can pick any of those items, you know, to their taste and likability at that price point of $199. The third product relaunch was the new improved softer and fluffier muffins. Now these are now available across all our cafes, and we're already seeing improvement in uptake as we build the cafe layer in 334 stores across the country. Right? Now I'll move to slide number 16. The Burger King social feed continues to drive engaging content. You know, we are always having a conversation with our guests on trending moments, on festivals like Diwali, Halloween, movie releases, and we stay connected with a loyal BK fan base through our social media handles. Last but not the least, and Raj mentioned in his open conference, is the update on King's Journey rollout. Now, this King's Journey rollout that we have, sort of the platform that we created, is a platform where our guests are offered fantastic experience through digital ordering, app-based ordering from the table without queuing up at the counter, and then getting their food served at the table. Now, this will significantly improve our customer service and our customer experience at our stores. As we speak, we have 68 stores that offer kiosk ordering to our guests, and we have a very good adoption of the same with almost 32% of the orders being placed using the kiosk interface. The BK app continues to grow with exclusive offers, and we have seen significant growth in orders and users on the BK app in the last quarter. And finally, table service. The initiative has been rolled out across 244 stores, and it continues to expand every week. As I mentioned, this should significantly help us further improve our guest experience over time. So that's from my side. I will now hand over to Sandeep to share an update on the Indonesia business.
Thank you, Kapil, and a very good evening to all of you once again. You know, the last quarter has been quite challenging for us. End of October onwards, the entire industry kind of witnessed a major setback due to the geopolitical crisis, which Raj was mentioning in the beginning of the call. Of course, our business also suffered and sales started to decline since then. We were delivering a very strong performance for the first two quarters. Even in the month of October, we were 17% higher in sales compared to the same period last year, which is when, unfortunately, this crisis hit us and our dine-in business got massively impacted by more than almost 32%. However, as Raj was mentioning, we quickly pivoted our strategy to drive sales through delivery channel and compensated a large part of that dine-in drop through a very strong performance on the delivery side. The entire operation team also did a fantastic job in tightening all the controllable cost lines and thereby making sure that we break even at a store level despite such a significant drop in sales. Now, before I move forward, let me quickly recap what are our three strategic pillars for the Burger King business. First, continue to build credibility in chicken. Second, establish and retain our leadership in burgers. And third, building a comprehensive dessert menu and drive incremental locations through that. And most importantly, the bedrock for all these strategies are having a very solid ops excellence and continue to provide a very strong value proposition to our guests across the menu layers and across all channels. Now, the next few minutes, I'm going to share with you some of the work we have done to move forward these strategic pillars. See, Indonesia is a very strong fried chicken market, and having a winning product is a key motivator in this category. Last time in our previous call, I spoke about launching two variants of chicken, the regular crispy and the spicy variant, at aggressively trial price of 25,000 for a meal, which in the Indian context is approximately 135 rupees for a piece of chicken, rice and a drink. And we also supported that launch with a comprehensive 360-degree marketing campaign. The results were quite positive. The incidence of chicken improved by more than 20%, volume grew by more than 50%. In fact, it's been now three quarters and we are seeing a sustained results, and this has become a part of our everyday value offer. I'm now moving to the next slide, which is slide number 22. The next strategic priority is to establish the burger leadership. And we continue to focus on two-pronged strategy here. First is the value and tier strategy. This is where we offer some of our flagship and preferred products at extremely aggressive price of 17,000. It is continuing to drive trials, continuing to drive frequency and delivering sustained results, and also helping us building the Whopper equity. The second part of the strategy is where we continue to provide new excitement through taste innovation and branded collaboration. Last quarter, we partnered with Heinz and launched a Mexican Whopper. And this month, as we speak, as a part of our LTO strategy, we launched a new variant which is inspired by a local favorite called Cheese Dunk Whopper. Now, as a part of the dessert strategy, which is the third pillar, we continue to drive innovation every quarter. Last quarter, our collaboration was with Ferrero and launched a Nutella Fusion. And that is also witnessing a sustained volume growth of almost 2.5 times. Now I'm on slide number 24. On the delivery side of the business, which is what both Raj and Sumit was mentioning, we picked up some of the best practices from India and crafted a single price menu. This has a collection of a bunch of products, about 18-20 products, preferred by our guests at a very attractive pricing. And we also increased our visibility in the platform. So this combination of attractively designed single price menu and an increased visibility is driving significant growth. As Raj was mentioning, our traffic in the delivery channels has increased by almost 40%. And we will continue to drive this strategy as this is going to give us a steady and a sustainable growth. Now let me quickly give an update on the Popeyes side of the business. This quarter we opened 13 stores and we are now a 25 store business. As a part of our asset strategy, most of the growth has been SSDP led. So out of 25, 21 is freestanding drive-through. Now that we have 25 stores and operation is getting stabilized, our single-minded focus is to build awareness of our products and generate trials. And we are doing that by using the digital menu board as an ad board. And we are building product awareness through various video assets. In fact, every store has a video wall which runs brand videos and product videos. Other than building the product awareness, we are also generating trials through entry price value, generating trials through digitized coupons, and also a single price menu strategy on the delivery side. We are building this brand with a digital first experience. And I mentioned in our previous calls that every single restaurant has kiosks. And our ambition is to have 100% known diners. And we have made a significant progress in that journey. In quarter one, 37% of our dine-in sales was through kiosks, which increased to 70%. And by the end of quarter three, it has gone up to 90%. This is definitely going to help us in driving a very strong CRM program in the times to come. Now that is from the Indonesia side, and now I hand it over to Prashant to share the overall outlook for the business.
Thanks, Sandeep. So guys, no major change if you would look from a FY24 guidance perspective. As far as the number of stores were concerned, Raj mentioned we've already delivered our entire FY24 guidance in January itself. On the same store side, given the headwinds that the industry is facing, we still continue to believe that Burger King will deliver a positive same store growth. We expect a 3% positive same store growth for the current year. As Sumit mentioned, we've already delivered on our promise of a 67% gross margin, so that's also one thing that we've been able to deliver. On the Indonesia business, we were hoping to break even by March of this next coming month, March 24, the Indonesia business, but given the challenges that Sandeep mentioned extensively at the geopolitical front, we had to take a little bit of a setback there, and we are pushing the Indonesia business cash break even from this year now to next year. Our long-term guidance continues to remain where it is from an FY27 standpoint. No change there. So that's from the outlook side. I guess with this, we'll open up the floor for questions. Happy to take any questions that you would have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nihal Mahesh Jham from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much and good evening to the management. So my first question was on the India business. Just looking at our employee and OPEX spend, despite the aggressive store addition, I see that it's remained flat or even seen a slight moderation versus the last quarter. So just some feedback on, you know, what led to this kind of a movement in these two lineups.
So Nihal, thank you for the question. We've been very tightly monitoring. We've been very tightly monitoring our costs at the store level. And as I mentioned when I was talking, our focus in addition to improving the overall revenue is going to be how do we constantly get better with our flow through at the store level. And that is something why we've been able to maintain the overall costs at the employee-related expense at the store level within a very tight range in spite of some more store openings that we've done during the quarter. And that is something which philosophically we will continue to be in that zone where we'll tightly control the middle of the P&L so that we can see the improvement at the store restaurant EBITDA level as well.
Understood. And on the OPEX side, any adjustment to the marketing spends? Because I know in the first few quarters there was an accelerated
spend. That part, if I may refer to slide page 6, our commitment has always been that we will spend around 5% on an annual basis. It does get differentially spent through the quarter. This quarter it was 4%, whereas if you would see last quarter it was 5%. But on a 9-monthly basis,
we are now at 5% for the full year as far as marketing spend is concerned. So which is where also I was highlighting that one should also very closely look at how the 9 months number look like at a early double digits at 10.3%. So and that's literally where we believe that we will build from here on.
Understood that. The second question was that the traffic growth is healthy. To get a sense, would it be fair to say that mainly the value strategy, based on say the data you have, is driving majority of these incremental footfalls that are happening? And just one last question to conclude would be that possible to get a sense of how you would look at the SSG performance, excluding cafe, which has now been in the base for more than a year. Yeah, that'll be it from my side.
Yeah. Nihal, good questions, both of them. We have always maintained a traffic strategy through value, right? If you go back the 8 years of our existence, we have always had a value mechanism always in place, right? So that's just basically the discipline that we have in marketing. We will always have a value, whether it is, in the past we had a 2 for 50 offer, or, now that we have a 99 rupees meal that Kapil spoke about. We will always continuously have a value traffic driving kind of a strategy, right? So that's nothing different than what we did years ago and what we're going to continue doing moving forward, right? Now, as far as the disciplines, like, Kapil went through several new product introductions, right? Whether it was the wraps that came in or the nuggets that he rolled out, the cafe that we rolled out in the past and so forth, right? All these are product, traffic driving kind of tools, right? Cafe drives in people that add on to traffic, which is not through value. So it's a product traffic driving kind of a mechanism. So those will continue. So it's not that we will only drive traffic through value. That is definitely something that is ingrained in the way we operate. But there is also this new product, NPD, as we call it, new product development, which will continue to draw new traffic into the business. Cafe is no different from that. Cafe is a kind of a long term. We think that in the first two, three years, we will kind of slowly convert as we, today you see the conversion of people coming into a restaurant who actually buy products like combos and then add a coffee to it. There will be a time in the future that this will be driven predominantly with people just coming in to have a coffee, filling in day parts. So it's a slow kind of improvement that we are kind of putting good energy in terms of operations, making sure that, we can continue to improve our cutlery, right? Our cups that we are serving this in, the products that we are testing on the food side of our cafe. All these things we continue to do. And we have a good footprint. We have 334 cafes operating right now. And we continue to open all the new restaurants with cafes where we can, right? So this will be a business that will continue to build, but traffic will be driven by day parks, which is our strategy bringing in NPD, and it will also be driven through value. So both these things, I don't know, a couple if you want to add.
That's pretty much on point. Traffic will value will continue to be a key driver as a mass media communication, out-of-store communication. But there will be a lot of these new product introduction that we'll see over time, which help us build more trials and more traffic into the stores on the back of NPD.
Okay, next question.
Yeah, just add on the SSG X of cafe if possible.
So they are on that. Principally, if you will see now, coffee has been operating for a while now. So from an SSG perspective, has coffee been an outperformer, underperformer? It's been in line with the overall SSG that we've done. If your question is more towards 16 versus 14 that you see, that has a lot to do with the new cafes that came up during the quarter, which took this down.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. So my question is that we have revised our guidance on SSSG from 6% to 3%. So if you can elaborate since last call, what has changed? What are the assumptions which we made at that point in time? and what has changed, for us to kind of now go back to 3%? If you can talk a bit about that.
Right, Dhwanil. Dhwanil, essentially every time we come, every quarter, we kind of guide basis what we expect the business to do versus what we expect, where the industry is going to trend from. One of the things that RBA we have done is been very transparent with our investor fraternity and share what we feel at that point of time. As you would notice that the industry is currently going through its share of tailwinds, and the outperformance at RBA continues from our standpoint. But at the same time, because if you look at your October, November, December, where we had hoped to do a much better SSSG that did not turn up, I thought it was important to communicate that to our investor fraternity.
Okay. So, kind of a, follow-up on that is that we are expecting FY25, 8% SSSG. So are we baking in a much better market environment, and in case if, this kind of a headwinds continue, is there a risk to downside revision to that number?
So no, Dhwanil, we are not saying my FY25 guidance will be 8%. What we are saying is our long-term guidance, given that the country is going to grow at 6-7%, we believe 8% is a fair assumption from a country perspective. However, if the headwind continues, which we will only come to know by the end of next quarter, we will come back and give you the guidance for 25. As of now, we are not guiding anything on 25. This is a broader overall long-term guidance.
Okay, got it. Second question is on Indonesia. So I think, when we acquired Indonesia business, I think our overall aim was to take gross margin to close to 60%, from, I think, mid-50s. So where are we in this journey? I think we are currently at around 57-odd%. So what all things, we see that will work to take it to 60%?
So a lot of this was mentioned by Sandeep in terms of all the effort that we are doing on the product side. That was our first phase. Second phase, as you know, when you look at the Indonesia business, it has two components. First component is the Burger King side of Indonesia, which is where you are reading the 57.5-58-odd% gross margin. If you look at the Popeyes side of the business, Popeyes side of the business has much stronger gross margin. As we had shared this with all of you, that going forward, at least for the next 24 months, we are not opening any more Burger King Indonesia, but the capital allocation process will be more towards Popeyes Indonesia. As the contribution of Popeyes to the overall business kind of increases, that's one step where you will see the overall Indonesian gross margin moving up. And number two, as Sandeep said, as we begin to gain more foothold on the Burger King side of the business, we will also see the Burger King gross margin moving up. Also, just to brief you, Dhwanil, this 57-60% was guided over a 3-5-year period, which we even now feel reasonably confident to deliver.
Yeah, and Sumit, I just want to add one more thing, that our current focus on Indonesia, like in India, is to really drive traffic to our stores, especially now with the current scenario, more so. We've also, as Sandeep was mentioning, we are also focusing very strongly on the delivery side of the business with a very attractive price offering. With that traffic, we feel that we will try and maintain the gross margins in the current range of 56.7-57% once we kind of get a little more structured or stable with the traffic. Once we kind of see the traffic coming back, we'll begin our journey or restart our journey on the gross margin side. So it is certainly a very strong focus area to work on, but this point in time, with the current scenario, traffic and overall revenue is going to be the key focus for us.
Got it. Thank you, and all the best.
Thanks, Dhwanil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Manish Poddar from Invesco Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, team. I just had one question. So if you look at before this quarter, we had opened roughly 25 stores in 12 months, trailing 12 months before that. And now, if you look at this quarter plus Jan, we've opened roughly 50-odd doors. Whereas when you look at the guidance which you had given, let's say,
the quarter four last year, the SSG for this year was 10%, which was expected, and now you're saying the SSG is going to be 3%. So I'm just trying to understand why accelerate the pace of store expansion if the demand environment is still similar, or are you witnessing something else on ground? Just trying to get sense on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Manish. So, Manish, two, three parts. One, from an SSSG calculation standpoint, the store comes into SSSG after it completes 13 months. So, it from that perspective, if your reference is towards SSSG and store opening in last December, the stores that would have completed 13 months would have been part of the 2.6% this quarter SSSG. That's one on the SSSG comment linked to the store openings. Number two, the store opening process is something that happens 3 to 6 months in advance. And sometimes you will see the bunching up of store happens basis, how the property is coming up, when the landlord gets the clearances, etc. It just so happened that this year that bunch up happened in the month of December, and hence the quarter, we ended up opening a lot many stores compared to previous year. As we said, there is an MFDA that we have signed with Burger King Global. And there are, we have to open 700 Burger Kings by December of 2026. And the team is working towards delivering that number. When we open a store, Manish, the life of that store, even on a store-to-store agreement that we do, is 20 years. So when we open a store, if we find a property which is great, we will go and open the store. It could be so that, currently in this quarter, probably there are a lot more industry headwinds, but that will not, deter us from not opening the store if the site is great, if the rent to revenue or something where we believe we'll be able to deliver a 4 to 5 year payback, we will still go ahead and open the stores, because that's essentially having spent over a decade in India. I think somewhere the team now gets a sense whether this is a good property and we would want to go with that. So from that perspective, our store opening targets continue to be guided by the MFDA. And so far, we've delivered on all our store opening targets, Manish.
So effectively, Prashant, if I hear you right, there's no material change in terms of demand on the ground.
There is, Manish, and which is where the 10% earlier same store guidance has come down to 3%. What I was trying to tell you is that is a reality that there is a demand slowdown or a tailwind or a headwind that we are facing as an industry. We are relatively facing this much lesser compared to competition for a lot of reasons that Raj mentioned, our relentless focus on value and some of the steps we took very early starting in February of last year. But all I am trying to mention is that as a result of this, we've not come down on our store opening targets. As and when we see a store which we believe will deliver a 4 to 5 year payback, we'll go ahead and open it.
Yeah, Manish, just adding to what Prashant is saying, see, building stores is a long-term strategy, right? We don't base that on one quarter or slow down in one quarter. We feel very strongly about the Indian market. We have very good, strong views on long-term views on how this is going to evolve, where this is going to go as a market over here for QSR, especially for the burger business. And all our strategy is to build a long-term strong business. So, one quarter here there does not, slow us down on that long-term belief and long-term strategy that we have in place. So that's the difference. And also, you can't suddenly stop building restaurants in a quarter and suddenly start building restaurants in the other quarter. These take a lot of planning, sometimes even 6 months to 1 year to open a restaurant. So those are all the points, including the ones that Prashant already mentioned.
My question was more from a perspective that has things on ground actually started improving, and that is why to capitalize on that, you all are probably accelerating, but I think it's more bunching up is what you're trying to say. And not really any
The answer is clear. We are still not seeing, on the ground significantly, things significantly improving.
Got it. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Come on. Hi, Shirish.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Prashant, thanks. Congratulations for exceeding the number of stores.
Thanks.
And also the margin expansion. If I look at the slide number 17, where we have mentioned that 68 stores is now having a King's Journey experience, and we have also provided 244 stores with the table service. Other reading is that we also have been talking value proposition. So as a culmination of this, what is the quantitative number, if you can say that, because you and even Rajiv has mentioned that there is a traffic growth. So quantitatively, quantitatively, is there a number you will be able to place in front of us that this is the number of traffic or number of or the traffic growth which we have achieved?
Shirish, you'll appreciate this, right? No QSR will share that traffic number in terms of an absolute, more from a competitive dynamic basis. But Raj did mention a number that overall, so far, we've seen a 6% growth in traffic. I think we would probably like to answer that on a percentage basis than on an absolute basis. I hope you understand, Shirish.
Yeah, that's helpful. The other question I have, that we've been talking about value for money layer. And now we have added some more contours to that, is tasty meal at 99 and chicken at 149. So the question is that despite this attempts, we have shown the margin expansion. So I wanted to understand from Sumit, what are the levers which is actually helping us or which has surprised us positively for expansion of this margin, despite our value for money strategy is intact?
Ways in which we've always been working. One is we've really kind of worked on trying to lock in prices whenever we see that the price points are attractive for us to kind of go long. That's one which we've always followed. The second one is that we've also very actively worked on expanding our vendor base. And when I say expanding vendor base, not tactically, but strategically, going closer to where we open newer clusters. That's something which really has worked. And thirdly, some of the scale benefits, you know, some of the advantages of growing rapidly is also starting to see the results into that line as well. And we've always been saying that scale is going to be one of the key levers for us to help improve the overall margins as we go along. So it's a culmination of various things that has helped us on improving the margins. Yes, we very strongly follow the value strategy, but that is not necessarily equals to we diluting our margins. You know, we also, whenever we run any aggressive value strategy promotions, we also parallelly see how will we also balance out our overall margin targets so that all the efficiencies that we build through our entire supply chain team effort is not necessarily getting balanced out by way of the promotion. So we kind of do that balancing act really well. So far, at least for 9 months period, we've been able to demonstrate that we've been able to demonstrate success through that strategy. That's what I would rather say.
No, I, the reason why I'm asking, because we have not changed the guidance on gross margin at 67, but we are expecting a margin, operating margin should improve from here. So that's why I want to be sure that this journey will continue.
Yes, if you look at the FY27, you will see we are forecasting that, you know, we are committed towards taking this from 67 to 69 by FY27.
Thank you. And last question on, when I look back, Prashant, your argument, that 13 months before we were close to about 345 stores. So if our SSG of those 345 stores is clocking at 2.6, so the question here is that how many stores or what percentage of stores are above 2.6% in terms of SSG?
Well, we don't share that cut, but one thing I will tell you where you are coming from. One of the interesting trends that we are seeing at our restaurant level is all the new restaurants we are opening are doing very, very well compared to what it used to do pre-COVID as well. So that's a standard, that trend that we have seen, that all our new store openings are doing very well for us, which is why we've been able to deliver not just a positive same store, but overall also a very strong trajectory in terms of our ADS journey.
Okay. All right. All the best to you and the team.
Thanks, Shirish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Poddar from Nippon India Mutual Fund, Mumbai. Please go ahead.
Sorry, just one small question. Could you, I didn't understand how is it that when you have opened 37 doors during the quarter, your other expenses and neither employee-related costs have not gone up. And this is also because you've also opened a higher number of BK cafes, right? So I'm just trying to understand.
So one, Prateek, to your question, one is, yes, we've opened quite a few number of stores during the quarter. But a large part of these addition came towards the second fortnight of December. So that is one of the reasons why you've not necessarily seen a substantial impact on the revenue as well as on the cost line. That's one. But at the same time, you know, Prateek, we have been very, very mindful in terms of the way we manage middle of the P&L through the quarter. Marketing is one which we've already shared that it was 5% in quarter,
yeah,
which is 4%. But we will continue to in our journey, Prateek, on being tighter with our middle of the P&L. But I'm saying, just to your question, when you are relating it to store openings, a substantial part of the store openings has come towards the later part of December. Second fortnight of December is where literally we've.
Okay. So it's mostly a timing mismatch, that's why.
Yeah, it's more a timing mismatch as well, yeah.
Go on. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi, thanks for taking my question. So basically, sir, Q3 is a seasonally strong quarter where there's a healthy ADS pickup sequentially. And against this backdrop, we have seen a 6-7% sequential decline in ADS in India business. From a slowdown perspective also, this is sort of sustaining is now prolonging as well, and the slowdown is now in its fifth quarter. So what are the key reasons according to you for this, and also if you could highlight some triggers that should drive an industry turnaround as per your study on the consumer?
Yeah, thank you for your question. See, we look at this purely, right? First, we look at this from the point of view of traffic, right? Is the traffic this quarter over last year same quarter going up or down? Now, consistently over the last three quarters, we've been reporting, in fact, I think it's more than three quarters, we have been reporting positive traffic coming in, right? So that is the best news for us to continue growing all the things that we do, that we are now driving more traffic in. Now, you see the Q2 numbers and Q3 numbers, and that's the question you're posing. There's been some seasonality shift between the two quarters. For example, there's movement of Navratri and Shraddh into the Q3 from Q2 from last year, right? Those are almost 25 days, which are low volume days predominantly, because people then stop consuming non-vegetarian food as well as also in many cases eating outside. So that shift has happened from one quarter to the other quarter. This that's the trigger that you were asking. That's one of those things. But also, you know, the expectation was that we will have a strong December. We will have a strong last couple of weeks in December because of all the sales and stuff that goes on in malls and so forth, right? That really didn't come through, right? It hasn't come through this year and it hasn't come through last year. It's just a kind of a seasonality shift that we are understanding post-COVID. We'll continue to study that. What we are happy about is that even on our numbers from last year, we have improved on traffic this quarter. Even on our numbers the last quarter, we have improved over the previous year, all three quarters, which tells us whatever the new trend is, whether it's driven by, you know, some external factors or it's just time-driven, we continue to improve on it, and that's all that we can work on. But what is the future? The next Q3, which is the next year, we will wait and see. But we will plan for it. We will make sure that we have a promotion. We will have something aggressive, so that we are not sitting at a 119 kind of ADS that you see on your papers now. The other part is as you grow bigger and your comping restaurant become a bigger base, right? As you continue to grow, your comping restaurants become a bigger base. The impact of new restaurant openings, those that are not comping, on the overall ADS becomes less and less. So you will find that impact slowing down.
Got it, sir. And secondly, wanted to understand what is the extra incremental capex that is associated with King's stores, and what are the initial trends that we are seeing in terms of improvement in store unit metrics with this introduction?
Incremental capex for King's. Okay, so sorry, Devanshu. As far as incremental capex requirement is concerned, per store would be in the region of around 10 lakhs. But what we also doing is that we are also simultaneously going to realign our total tech investments at the store. Like Kapil in his slide mentioned that we might relook at having the DMVs in the store. So. While I'm saying 10 lakhs is what we would need to put the cost if we were to not make any change or realignment, we work towards that. As far as looking at how it is impacting from the perspective of matrix, it's still early days because we've just got 68 stores in there. What we are at this point in time concentrating on is really improving the overall customer journey and concentrating on getting more customer information through the implementation of King's journey. And that's actually how we are looking at focusing on this. We'll kind of share some numbers as we also gain some more information or gain some learnings out of it. But at this point in time, it is still early days. But our focus is going to be complete this entire investment towards over next 12 months. So March 25, we would see the overall, all our stores across the portfolio getting converted to having the finished journey.
Thanks, Sumit. Thanks for taking the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Gattani from OHM Portfolio Equi Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. If I look at the Indonesia numbers, you know, the occupancy and other expenses, there is an absolute drop from 61 CR to 48 CR. What is this? Because you have added 13 stores of Poppies, though the Burger King stores are flat. How is this number consistently dropping? Absolute number.
One is that we have, as compared to last year, quarter two, we have shut down quite a few restaurants, almost around 20 Burger King restaurants. And those were malls, high rent-to-revenue ratios as well. So that is the reason why we are very clearly seeing the occupancy of their expenses as a ratio coming down. Whereas Popeyes, yes, we've added Popeyes, but the these are FSCTs. And we've, I think, shared in our earlier commentary as well that those comes at a very attractive rent to revenue ratios as well. So that is very clearly the reason for drop from 60.6 crore to 48 is purely on account of shutting down of Burger King's almost around 20 odd stores that we've kind of shut down. And then we also are very actively working with our landlord partners as well there in order to get some more for the benefits or improve the rent to revenue ratios. It's purely on account of those efficiencies that we've worked on. That was one. And the second one, you would recollect that we had made last year during quarter two, we had made a substantial amount of marketing investments there. If we were to look at it in quarter two last quarter 2 FY24, that is also now starting to kind of settle down into quarter 3 of FY24. So, it's a combination of both store shutting downs as well as some of the investments that we have been starting to taper off. But this journey will continue because that's something which we are going to work towards with the current scenario that we have.
My question was more on the sequential drop from 61 to 48. What you explained was from quarter three last year to this year, this quarter, which I understand because there are many stores shut. But from quarter two to quarter three, you've not shut any store in Burger King. And in spite, you opened some 13 stores in the other brand.
It is also on account of all the investments that we have done in quarter two on the marketing side, and also we've kind of tapered some of those investments on that side, and we started rationalizing the costs quite substantially. We will share the details of those costs and plan as we go along.
Right.
But the reason is because we started rationalizing the costs as well.
That's great. So can we take this as a sustainable thing that, and what was your marketing cost? I mean, in India, it is 5% that you have to spend. It is the same there in Indonesia?
No, so our requirement of MFT has always been at 5%. What I can tell you is that what we are constantly working towards as far as Indonesia is concerned is that while the headwinds really continue to impact us, our journey is that how do we really make sure that we achieve the break even at the during the challenging times as well. So that's something which is going to be our focus there. So while we might have said that we will get to break even later, but our focus is that how do we get better with in the current scenario. That's literally the focus why you are seeing the shift, and you will only see the continuation of this journey as we go along as well.
Okay, great. And Samay, I heard that you will not be opening any more Burger King stores for the next 24 months in Indonesia.
So we will come back and revisit that part, but yes.
So when we had mentioned this, what I was sharing with Dhwanil was that this is the guidance that we had given at the beginning of the year for next 2 years. So at least
right,
for the next 12 months, we don't expect to add any Burger King. And if we choose to add, if the scenario, as Sandeep mentioned, a lot of efforts have gone, and if the economics, really unit economics, change in favor of Burger King, we'll come back to you. But as of now, at least for the next, next year, you can expect that we won't open any Burger King, and we'll continue to open Popeyes.
Okay, great. I mean, fantastic job, guys, with the cost cutting that is happening. I mean, we're just waiting for the top line to deliver, and we'll see margins flowing down. Great job, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining the call. I'll wrap up by sharing 2-3 perspectives. Yes, the industry is facing a certain amount of headwinds. The sheer focus towards delivering, getting more people into our stores on the dine-in side, the journey which started early part of January, February of 2023 has consistently shown and driven our traffic growth. Traffic continues to be a very, very strong pillar for RBA in India and in Indonesia. You will see us continue to build momentum on the traffic side. So that's a very, very strong pillar. Number two, just to add to what Raj, Sumit and Sandeep mentioned, as we continue to build traffic, both same store growth, overall ADS will continue to grow, but our sharper focus remains to better our unit economics. As we had mentioned earlier, as our ADS continues to grow, you will see improvement or operating leverage beginning to play its role, both at a restaurant EBITDA level and at a company EBITDA level. We continue to believe, be big believers that this is a business which is still in its infancy from a perspective of there is so much of demand for QSR, whereas supply is lagging behind. There are so many cities for us to go and cover and open new restaurants. So we continue to remain extremely positive about this business over a medium to long-term perspective. And we thank each one of you for your support in this journey. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Restaurant Brands Asia Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.